You've probably heard a few tall tales about people who bought a house in the right suburb right before it took off, and that one clever buy meant they watched their net worth grow almost overnight. But is there a way to play this game so that you win? To spot one of those undervalued areas right before it booms? Or is this just dumb luck that gets claimed as smarts in hindsight? Well, we've got a letter that's asking just that, and we're going to try to find some answers. So welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry to get the answers you need right now. Making Sense is partnered with realestate.co.nz to get you the info you need in today's market. Realestate.co.nz gives you so many ways to search and so much information to help you make decisions. Realestate.co.nz. Download the app today. All right. Our favorite data queen, Vanessa Williams from realestate.co.nz. In the hot seat, I've got a great letter for you today. You ready?
I am so ready.
Hi, Frances. I'm finally in the position to think about buying my first home. Exciting. And as they say, exciting and terrifying all at once. The good thing is I work fully from home, so I don't have to be tied to one city or a specific commute. My parents always talk about how they look for undervalued areas that were about to take off, and it paid off big for them. Now, I love the idea of finding something like that, but I don't know how to tell if an area is on the rise or if I'm just guessing. Is there actual data or trends I can look at to spot the next up-and-coming suburb, or is it just luck? I love this. The idea of spotting an undervalued suburb, I mean, yes, I would love to find one of those as well, but is there data or trends we can pull on to help us with this?
That's a great question. And firstly, a huge congratulations to our listener. Like,
so
how exciting. You're right. It's so nerve-wracking and so exciting all at the same time. And a lot of people are saying, you know, where do I even start? So great that mum and dad have gone, come on, undervalued suburb, let's get it done. What I will say is not a lot in the property market is luck.
Yeah.
Although there are sprinklings of that in there. And, you know, I always have the saying, the harder I work, the luckier I get. So
you and my dad agree on that one.
So let's work hard on some data, because I do think that there is absolutely signs that you can start to look for. The challenge that you have with undervalued suburbs is that it's all retrospective, right? We don't actually know if something is going to be undervalued until we are in the future. We don't know if it's going to spring up or it's going to actually stay stable or perhaps even drop back a bit. But look, there are certainly tools that you can start to do. So shall I talk to you a little bit about what I do when I'm
looking for
a property? Because I thought this is going to be quite super practical. So bear with me, everybody. But look, start to think, and I know our lovely listener had said, look, I work from home, so I'm not really hamstrung to where I want to live or need to live. But what I will say is you've got to go home to this house every day for probably quite a significant portion of time. It's not like a rental where if in a year's time you're kind of like, I don't like the driveway and the commute's too long or it's too far away from the local supermarket, you can change that. It's not as easy when you are buying. So I would say while that is a good situation now, you also might get another job.
Yeah.
And they might want you back in. So, you know, like while that is a privilege now, I just make sure that you're not completely ruling out those two pieces as well.
Future-proof it.
Absolutely, especially when you're buying. So when I think about buying, I kind of go, right, what suburbs would I really like to live in for whatever reason? And you know those suburbs yourself. What suburbs are quite like those suburbs? So I mean in terms of like the same amenities or the same, you know, maybe distance from town or distance from schools or distance from parents. So think about what it is that there's probably like your top suburbs. Then there might be suburbs that you can start to compare them to. You're like, I don't actually want to live there, but because it's got a similar amenities or a similar amount of time or, you know, distance away from those key things that matter to me, they might just be in the other direction. You don't want to live that way. But you're like, well, actually, that's got a train station and that one and this one's got a train station. So what I do is I set myself up a saved search in those suburbs and I actually label them suburb I would like to live in, suburb I am comparing to.
Nice.
And I start to get those emails into my inbox every morning. So there's instant safe search. I don't bother with that. You don't want to 400 emails every time we get a new listing, but I get it collated on a daily basis. And I look, and I of course put my filters in. Like if you need to have 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, then you pop those in the filters as well. So we want to make sure that we're comparing the type of house that we would ultimately like to buy in a suburb that perhaps has a similar amenities, but you can kind of get a bit of a vibe for. So once I've saved all those searches, anything that really piques my interest and think I'd actually quite like to live in a house like that, I go and save it immediately. What I then do is I then pop them into a spreadsheet. Now, you did introduce me as a data queen, so if I've lost you at this point, I do apologize, but I do.
Spreadsheet nerds would love you. Oh. The rest of us shall simply just admire you.
Welcome in, spreadsheet nerds. But, you know, I start to think about what was the listed date. Mm-hmm. What is the estimate at the time? Most properties will have a property estimate on the listing. Note that down. Also note down how it's being sold. Mm. Is it an auction? Is it a negotiation? And then finally, once you because at this point we're in the data sharing, the kind of investigation space, I also put down what it's sold for. So as soon as I get that notification that says this has been sold or withdrawn, I go and resave that property and wait to get the notification of how much it's sold for. And then what I start to do is on my different tabs, I start to look at what is happening with those properties. Am I starting to see that properties are going onto the market as auctions and quite a lot of them are not selling at auction, so they're going to negotiation and they're selling for around $800,000? Okay, so that's probably the amount that I'm looking to spend in this area. Well, how does that fare when I compare it to my comparison suburb? So it's really around those sort of really practical tools that I do to go, which suburb would I ideally like to live in? And you might also have a moment where you're like, okay, I thought I might be able to live in this suburb, but actually I can't. Because
dreams are free, the suburb is not.
Exactly. You are so right. And you know, and maybe you might find another suburb that perhaps you do want to live in because actually that's more within your budget as well. So I think it's really important if you are looking at data, you sort of need that real-time data and you do need it on a property by property level. Unfortunately, there isn't a silver bullet on the likes of realestate.co.nz or qv.co.nz. They don't have that sort of information right down to a property level. But if you are a spreadsheet nerd or you're just someone who's like, right, I'm going to give this a hot, real hot go because I'm really keen to understand and get myself a really good valued property. And I will say there are hundreds of different properties in these suburbs as well, especially if you're in a major centre. So there's actually a lot of choice for you to choose from.
And I think as well, like people who've been listening to the pod for a while will know I'm not a spreadsheet girly myself, right? I'm not great at this stuff. But there are times like this, especially if you're a first home buyer, you're looking to snag a bargain. But really anytime I think you're looking to buy a property because they're so expensive, you do want to get it right and you do want to get the best price you can. The way that I make myself do these things that I am not naturally inclined to do is I really do think about that return on my time where, you know, setting up a few saved searches is an hour or two to set them up and keep an eye on them, read the emails. The return on that could be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And how much do I earn per year going to work, right? So it's that return could be huge for, you do have to put in some time investment, but when I think about it that way, it's actually not as much of a time investment as you might think. And that sort of makes me do the thing that I maybe don't want to.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's a really great way to look at it because unfortunately, searching for a house is like having a second job.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. But the amount of money that you are spending and potentially the time you're going to spend in this place and how much it's going to cost you if you have to get a mortgage, how much the bank's going to take off you, you really want to spend that time, do the data, you know, do the research. And look, if it's a couple of hours a night, and I will say, look, there's not loads of formulas in my spreadsheet or anything like that. It's just really a place to collate data on, as I said, even if it's listed date and sold date, well, how long is it taking for properties in the suburb to sell? Is it longer or shorter than I would have expected? If it's longer, you might have a bit more time to negotiate or more negotiating power. If they're selling quickly, you might have to, you know, think about spending a bit more money. But again, it's really, once you understand a little bit more about those, just those fundamentals, it's amazing how much more confident you'll walk into that open home, how much better you'll feel when you do purchase that home, because, you know, that is something that you've put the time, the effort, and the energy in to understand and make a really informed decision.
Find the perfect property faster with realestate.co.nz, the home of property. Realestate.co.nz allows you to search the way you want based on your budget, the location, the type of house. You can even draw on the map to find properties in a specific area. You can filter by price range, number of bedrooms, even keywords like brick and tile. If you're keen to avoid buying at auction, you select to view houses with the price displayed. That's super helpful, especially if you're using your KiwiSaver. When you've narrowed down your search, realestate.co.nz will alert you when a new property that matches it hits the market. Download the realestate.co.nz app to find your perfect property faster.
And I think the thing as well, a small red flag that caught me on this letter was its advice coming from parents, which, lovely, love that they're talking to the parents about it. But, I mean, you come across this with job advice too. Is there can be some very well-intentioned advice that has maybe aged out of being useful. And sometimes the property world, it can change so much in a few years, never mind decades. So if she's getting help from the parents on this, I'm sure a lot of it is very useful. Are there any things in terms of this hunt for the undervalued suburb that might have changed over the years that maybe she should keep an eye out for?
I would say that it's probably less about an undervalued suburb, but perhaps more about an undervalued house within a suburb. Because, you know, it's always interesting. And if you can do a nosy about the most expensive house sold in that suburb, and then, you know, even put that in your data spreadsheet if you want as well. Look, I think it would be, we don't know when the last time her parents did buy and sell as well. So they might have, it might be advice from quite a few years ago, or it might just be something that they've done recently. I'd also say to, I'd ask them, so how did you understand what an undervalued suburb was? Perhaps they've got kind of an idea or an understanding, or different people achieve this in different ways as well. Like I know I've, a friend of mine, very much into what's happening infrastructure wise. I mean,
speaking of nerds.
Yeah, yeah, right. I'm like, there's none of that in my spreadsheet, my nerdy spreadsheet. But, you know, like it's, where are the next trains being laid out? Where are the next bus routes increasing to? And so that has helped them. They originally bought a house up in Warkworth quite a while ago before that new road's been put in, right? Because there's
genius.
Long game, right? They, and again, it was that challenging position around, I can't get into Auckland City, but okay, I might have to do a bit of a hard commute for the next 5 years. But look, in 7 years' time, it's going to be a lot quicker and my house is going to be worth a lot more money. I mean, that's very much the long game, but it sort of depends on what your vibe is and how it is that you decipher those undervalued suburbs. And your parents might have some really good advice on that, what they did do, and you could, you know, give that a whirl and try some other things as well.
Another red flag that occurred to me while I was thinking about this letter was potentially the risk of chasing sort of the next hot suburb sort of thing, rather than, you know, you flagged this a little bit when we were talking about the work from home issue. Things might change. And trying to find a house that you like and that works for your life and the life that you plan on leading for quite a while is really key, right? So how do you think you weigh that up? Chasing the next hot suburb, trying to find something undervalued versus finding a house you like?
I think, again, it comes back to what's really inherently going to make you happy. So will you forever be, you know, feeling resentful of your house if you feel like you didn't get that bargain? And I'm using that in inverted commas because, you know, a bargain is so relative. Some people's first homes are $2 million. Like mine certainly wasn't, but you know, and that is a bargain to them. Other people might be $150,000 and they really scrimped and saved for that as well. So I think you are dead right, is that don't just focus on perhaps one piece of advice that you've been given. Really check in with yourself and like, is it really, really important to me to get a bargain? Or am I more, of course we would love everything, but you don't want to compromise on the fact that you've got to live in this house. Is it warm? Is it dry? Is it close enough to the things that really matter to you versus saving $10,000 or $15,000? depending on where you are in the country, of course. But yeah, think about, sometimes we can get caught up in a piece of advice and think, right, I've got to do this one specific thing. And then after we've transacted, go, oh, I didn't really think about this, that, or the rest of it. So if you are typically houses that are undervalued, there's a reason that they're also undervalued too, you know. So just going in with eyes wide open when you're looking at those open homes, asking the questions, doing your builder's report. Please, 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 please
always
never buy a house without a building report. I know I say this every episode almost, but I
but just it still sure. needs saying, so keep saying it.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, when your builders come back and say, look, this is that, this, you know, like in thinking about the condensation or the, you know, state of the property or the mold and the cupboards, whatever there might be, just think about, am I willing to compromise on that? And what does a house that's got less of those cost me? And just making that informed decision and thinking about those ahead of time.
I love it. Great stuff as always, Vanessa Williams, realestate.co.nz. Now, if you have more questions about this, particularly the property world, send them through to us and we can get your questions answered. ask@francescook.co.nz and I'll chuck that in the show notes too, so you can just copy and paste it across, no worries. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.